Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Thank you for joining us today on Apex Online. I'm glad you're with us. I really believe in today as we continue our Beyond series that God's going to help us and God's going to speak to you today. Hey, you join us in a time in our church life where it's a sad time. We were saddened by the sudden and unexpected passing of Wendy Haggith. We've been part of our church since its inception, and we're grateful for her life, but we're so sad for Paul and for the family. And I pray today that as we come to God's word at a time like this, that we will find comfort, that we will find hope, that we will find reassurance by being in his presence together. I think at times like this, though, I am reminded that this world is not where I belong, that I was made for something so much more, that what I see in this life, the physical, the natural, is only temporary, and it will never fully satisfy. There's a longing within me for something more, for somewhere else. And I believe that we just travel through this life until we enter into the afterlife, where for those who have faith in Jesus Christ will be in his presence forevermore in heaven. And until then, though, there's just this longing and tension within us. If you know Jesus, I'm sure you'll be able to relate. And wisdom was found in the Bible by the writings of King Solomon, who during his lifetime was a very wise man who wrote down a lot of important things. And one of the things he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where he talks about the different times and seasons and purposes throughout our lives, he says these words in verse 11. He said, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." Everything. The good times, the not so good times, the good things and the not so good things. He makes everything beautiful in its time. But he goes on and he says this. He says that he has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Inside each and every one of us, there is eternity in our hearts, in our true selves, in our inner being. And until we find our home, where we belong, we'll always be restless, longing for that place. And that's only resolved when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, when we recognize that he's our Savior from ourselves, from our sin, and from this world. But it will only be realized when we enter into eternity and be with him forevermore. In the Bible, mountains are landmarks of spiritual significance. It's places where God interacted with humanity. Right away you might be able to think of those Ten Commandments, the two tablets that Moses received on Mount Sinai. He was up the mountain, and the prophet Elijah, he was up Mount Carmel when he called down fire from heaven. Mountains are really important in the Bible, and it talks of a place of encounter but also a place of intimacy. And today I want us to go up a mountain together. I want to go on a journey with you, and as we go on this journey, I want to ask you, what do you see and what do you hear as we climb this mountain together? And in this passage that we're about to read together, it's set on a mountain. So that tells us that something important is about to happen. Turn with me in your Bible in the New Testament to the Gospel of Mark. That's the second book in the New Testament. And we're going to turn to chapter 9 and read together from verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, is it good for us to be here? Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. It's been a long time, but I've always enjoyed climbing hills. And it's been probably too long since I've tried that. Because I've always found that going out in the fresh air and elevating to a higher position where sometimes in Scotland, if it's not too cloudy, that you can see things that you'll never see from just staying on ground level. The vantage points and the viewpoints to see further and to see scenery that really takes your breath away. But also to be exposed to the elements. And you can be on ground level and it can be a beautiful day, but as you go higher, sometimes the climate changes and the atmosphere is a little bit different. It can be a lot windier, it can get colder very, very quickly. But I've always found that I've never regretted climbing a hill. I've never regretted going up a mountain. Maybe the time, as I've got a bit weary, I've wondered, was this a good idea? But afterwards, I've always been grateful that I took the time. And there's something that when you find yourself on a mountaintop, that whether that's a Ben Nevis or a Benahi, I've always just been amazed at creation and how that has been possible. It's always given me a fresh appreciation for the Creator. And I wonder today, as I said in my introduction, could we go up a mountain together and journey with the disciples as Jesus journeyed with them? And my prayer that as we go through this for the next few moments, that like the disciples, we'll only see Jesus. You see, the disciples, they head off together with Jesus. Not all of them, just Peter, James, and John. And they're with Jesus, and he leads them up this high mountain, and the Bible says that they were all alone. It was after 6 days that this took place. 6 days, God created the heavens, the earth, and everything on it. And then the 7th day, he rested. And that first week was complete. And now we've got 6 days, and this event, which ends and gives the full revelation of who Jesus is. At this point, they had the fullest revelation that they would ever have, that Jesus is God. Jesus takes these the closest disciples away from the rest of the group, away from the distractions of their lives, leaving behind the lesser things to give a revelation of who he is. So there's something about being alone with Jesus that he reveals things to us that don't often happen in large crowds. It's a moment of personal connection and intimacy. And as I reflect on my journey, there has been moments alone with Jesus where he is almost taking my breath away with wonder that there are 6 billion people in this world, but yet he still has time to meet with me individually. See, really in life, if you know Jesus, you're never truly alone. He's always with you at all times. And it's in these moments that you realize who he is and that he's all that you have and that he's all that you'll need. I wonder, when was the last time you were alone with Jesus? Not caught up in distractions, not caught up with other people, just alone with him. Can I encourage you, if you're watching me today, just to take a moment to just be alone with Jesus, to get away from everything else and just focus on him and ask him to reveal himself to you. It'll give you a greater awareness of his nearness and his presence in your life. And if you get yourself in a moment like this, just pray a very short prayer. None but Jesus. That in everything that's happening in your world today, that you would just see nothing else but Jesus. See, it's moments alone on the mountaintop with Jesus that prepares us for the inevitable decline and the walk through the valley. It's on these mountain moments that prepare us for the valleys. It's on the mountaintop that we see his glory, but it's in the valley that we learn of his goodness and his mercies. And these mountain experiences are actually preparation for the valleys that will come in life. And one is not more important than the other. They're both necessary, because on the mountain we learn about the glory of God, but it's in the valley that we truly taste and experience the goodness of God. And I wonder today, you maybe just need to take time up upon the mountain and have that fresh revelation, so that when the valleys in life come, that you won't be wondering, where is God? What's going on? You'll be so sure of his goodness and his mercy. So in this passage, it's known to many as the transfiguration. What does that mean, to transfigure? It's a word that we certainly don't use very often. And the transfiguration of Jesus Christ was a powerful demonstration of his divine nature and a manifestation of his glory. It's what Jesus possessed before he came to earth. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus humbled himself, that he put on flesh. And he actually humbled himself not to die a natural death. He died a criminal's death, the Bible says. He was executed. And then the passage goes on to tell us that even though he died, he was raised from the dead and exalted, and God gave him the name above every other name. So in this moment, it's almost like the incarnation in reverse, that the disciples actually get to see Jesus for who he really is. There's no one like Jesus. There's none like him. And here in this portion, we see that Jesus is no cartoon character. He's not just this nice-looking guy. Jesus is God. And this passage makes it crystal clear that he was not just a prophet. He wasn't just a good teacher, a good guy. Although he may have been all these things, he is God. And it's really important that we understand who he is. And it's in this moment that the disciples actually see Jesus in his truest form, in his fullness. It's in this moment that the temporary gives way to the eternal, that their faith gives way to their sight, that they see Jesus for a moment who he really is. And I wonder today, are you fully aware of who Jesus is? Do you fully understand who he is? As I've said, he's not just this moral person that just came in and told some good stories. He's the Son of God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's God. And the disciples here see him in his truest form. They even describe what he looked like. It tells us about his clothes, which were, they were dazzling. They were so white that it says here that no amount of bleach could have made these clothes so white. Now, they had no dyes, they had no Persil, they didn't have any of that stuff back then. In fact, it would have been so odd to them, particularly fishermen. They weren't going out in their boats with white clothes on. They were going on with dark colors. And he stood out. He was unique. And Matthew says that his face shone, just like when Moses saw a glimpse of God's glory. Jesus' face is shining. And it just separates him from everything else. There's no one like him. No one compares to him. Tells us of the uniqueness of who he is and of this moment. And during this revelation moment, there's a glimpse into a fuller reality. Because he's joined at this moment by two other prominent and important figures in the Bible, Moses and Elijah. Now, Moses is interesting because he has no burial place. We don't know where he was buried. Elijah's interesting because the Bible tells us he was caught up to the heaven in a chariot. Moses actually spoke prophetically about Jesus, and the religious people at this time were looking to Elijah to be their Messiah who would return. So it's interesting that in this moment, Jesus is met with two characters from the Bible, and the Bible tells us this here. Mark takes time to say that they were talking with Jesus. Jesus wasn't talking with them. They were talking with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. These guys knew all about mountaintop experiences as well. And it shows us that this sense of community between them is what God invites us into as well, that we can be in community with Jesus. But it's a glimpse that there is so much more going on than we realize. These last few weeks, we've been going through this journey of looking at this thought of beyond. He is the God of above and beyond. And today, I hope you're picking up that there's something beyond this life. This is what we see here. There is so much more. And we have a glimpse here. A glimpse. A glimpse of what eternity will look like. And it's a glimpse that should actually intrigue us and want us to know more. And actually, that's that longing within us that we want to be there. Now, we joke, we don't maybe want to go too soon, but there still should be that within us. That's our home. That's the reality that awaits you and me if you are in Christ. And I don't know too much about heaven. The Bible points this and tells a little bit about us. But there's one thing I know for certain is Jesus is there. The one the Bible says that his radiance illuminates heaven. That's the most important detail. The rest will follow. He is there. Caught up in this moment, Peter, a little bit misguided, comes to Jesus and says, come on, this is amazing. Let's stay here forever. Let's build three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one of our favorites, one for Elijah. We like him too. Let's stay here forever. And Peter's a little bit misguided, and the text tells us because they were scared, they didn't know what to say. You ever find yourself in a place like that when you're scared and you say things that are really silly? This was a moment to worship and adore and then move on. See, Jesus knew that this was an important moment for them because he knew what their future looked like. But they wanted to stay there. And also that it was important that they didn't build three shelters, because God is trying to tell the disciples here that Elijah and Moses, they were good guys. But Jesus far surpasses them. He is greater in power and authority than Moses and Elijah because he is God. There's no one like him. No one comes near him. And when you realize that, the only response is to worship, to wonder, and to adore him. There's no one like him. And then the Bible tells us something else that happens on that mountain, that a cloud descends and covers them. And the cloud represents the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is there as well. So we've got the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is there as well. And then from the cloud comes a voice. That's the voice of the Father. And the Father says these words, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Doesn't say listen to Moses. Doesn't say listen to Elijah. He says listen to my Son, to Jesus. Can I ask you, can you hear what Jesus is saying today? Even in this moment in your home, you could just take this moment just to listen. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're in a relationship with him, you're maybe even hearing his words as they come to your mind, but can I help you if you're struggling today? He's saying peace. He's saying receive my peace. He's saying, put your trust in me. He's saying, I'm with you. He's saying, I'm for you. He's saying, you can put your hope in me. I won't fail you. I'm coming for you. I love you. And I care for you. Are you listening to him today? Maybe you've been listening too much to your own voice, telling your things that are not true. Maybe you've been listening to your accuser. God says, listen to him. And in this moment, he is exalted and he is given his rightful place that he is God. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is God. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the living one, the everlasting one. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Lords, and he's the King of Kings. That's who Jesus is. And the text tells us here that suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. You've been listening to what he's saying, but can we take a look around? Can you look around right now? Can you see him? Can you see him in your life? Can you see him in the midst of where you are today? Can you see him? If you're struggling to see him today, then let's go a little higher. Let's climb the mountain a little further. Let's pray the prayer, none but Jesus. Because I just want to see Jesus only. And if you find yourself today in a time of trouble or a difficult circumstance, then all you need to see is Jesus. Because he is our hope. He is the one that we put our faith in. It's Jesus only. It's not Jesus plus me and what all that I can do, or Jesus plus what's in my bank balance, or how good things are going. No, it's Christ alone. He is the cornerstone. He is the one that we build our lives upon. It's Jesus only. And I wonder today, as you've listened to me just unpack and explain this significant point in the life and ministry of Jesus, that I believe this is an important moment for you as well. And first of all, it might be because you need to realize and be aware of who Jesus is. Jesus is God. And Jesus is a God of love. And he loves you. And he cares for you. In fact, he's done everything he possibly can so that he can be in relationship with you. And he can save you from all the stuff that's gone on in your life, the things within you, that sick maybe feeling within you that the Bible calls sin. And even this world, he can take us from here so that we can be in relationship with our Father in heaven again. He's a God who loves, he's a God who forgives, he's a God who gives us a new start. But it all begins by realizing who he is and recognizing that. Putting your faith in him and asking him to forgive you of your sin, repenting of your old life, and beginning a new life in him. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he'll enable you to live the life and the purpose that he made for you. And it really comes with just a sincere, simple prayer, maybe a little bit more than none but Jesus, but really that's what it all comes down to, Jesus. If you want to pray that today, could you just repeat these words after me? Dear Lord Jesus, give me a revelation of who you are. I want to know you as my Savior. I want to know you as my Lord. I recognize I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I turn away from my old life and I choose to follow your will for my life. Holy Spirit, come in to my heart. Transform me. Make me into a new person. I confess you are my Lord. I believe that you are risen from the dead. Will you help me to follow you all the days of my life? In Jesus' name, amen. You've maybe watched today and you have prayed this for the first time. Or possibly life has led you away from being in close community with Jesus. And you prayed that and you meant it sincerely. Well, can you reach out today? Because we want to connect with you and help you on your journey. And it's really simple. If you're watching Facebook, just send us a message or messenger to the church, or if you're on YouTube, send us an email at info@apexcenter.org.uk and we'll help you on your journey. And even better, come and join us in person here at Apex Church next Sunday. But I want to talk to maybe church family or people who've been watching online, and you're part of the family. And I think if you've been in town or you've been here on Sundays, you'll agree that we're all stunned, we're all shocked, we all find ourselves in a sad place. But, you know, when we look around, all we need to see is Jesus. And if you have faith and he's your Lord, in times like valleys like this, it doesn't take long before you start noticing his goodness and his mercy. So I just want to pray for you that in the midst of this time, that you'll see Jesus. Jesus, reveal yourself to each one. Let them see you. Give them those moments privately of personal encounter and show yourself to them. As the faith that is within their hearts rises up, I know you'll respond to them, Lord. So Father, I do pray for peace and comfort to be with each one. And Lord, that's our desire, that we would see Jesus only.